In his first letter, the Apostle Peter writes to the elect exiles of the dispersion. And we're going to be looking at that letter over the coming Sundays. And the mention of dispersion wasn't the reason that I decided to look at this letter, but when I thought about it, it did seem appropriate. Because at this time, we are dispersed on a Sunday. Like many others, we're unable to meet together in church. And we can see from what Peter says in the opening verses that he was clearly writing to Christians, but that they were scattered about in different places. And we can say the same thing is true of Christians today, even without the present restrictions. We're dispersed all over the world. In these last few weeks, you may have had opportunity to join remotely in worship with others in different places, perhaps in a way that you wouldn't have done otherwise, except on holiday. And indeed, it's one of the blessings on holiday of going to different churches, that we can experience something of that wider fellowship that we share with the exiles in dispersion. Well, the letter was written to believers dispersed through five provinces, which today coincide with a large part of Turkey. And as you watch or listen to these talks on 1 Peter, as we're all scattered about, perhaps you may be feeling quite lonely at home. And if you're a believer in Christ, perhaps you're longing for that sort of fellowship. But if you're a follower of Christ, then this letter is written to you too, one of those exiles in dispersion. The opening verses are packed with goodies. Verses 1 and 2 describe what a Christian is. Verses 3 to 5, in those Peter blesses God for what he's done for us, for what he's going to give us, and for what he is doing for us now. And so there's a lot in these verses, more than I can fit into a short talk, but I'm going to pick out a few of the things. And perhaps you noticed, if you've read this or heard it being read, that verses 1 and 2 are Trinitarian. That is, they mention the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And a Christian is described here as someone who is elect, chosen by God. And we'll see in this letter how that's something that should encourage us. We see also a Christian is someone in whom the Holy Spirit is at work to sanctify us, and we'll see later how that should affect our lives. And a Christian is also someone who has been sprinkled with the blood of Jesus, which picks up on those Old Testament practices. It's about being made clean, not of dirt, but of sin. But we also see that we're to be obedient to Jesus by responding to his call to believe, and by following him, and by loving him in keeping his teaching. And you know, we could delve deeper into any of those things or all of them, but they're about what God does. They're about his purpose at work in the lives of those that he has chosen, his elect exiles in dispersion. And therefore, in verses 3 to 5, reflecting on these things, I guess, Peter gives thanks to God. In normal circumstances, we would often have a eulogy at a funeral, though at a time like this, with only a few mourners present at the funeral and the need to keep them short, that's not really possible. But a eulogy is an opportunity to say good things about the person who's died. And that's what the word eulogize means, to say good things. It's a Greek word, which Peter uses here in verse 3, and translates as blessed be. So we say and we sing good things about God because of all that he's done for us as his people. And we often do that in our worship together in words and in songs, but we should do it also in our private times of prayer and at other times too. And then notice that we're not blessing God in some sort of vague idea and concept of God, because Peter says here that we're blessing the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it's through Jesus, more than anything else, that we can learn about God, because Jesus is the Son of the Father. So we've good reason to thank and praise God, to say good things about him. And in verse 3, we have a reason because of what God has done for us in the past. It says, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In these last 2 weeks since Easter, we've been looking at the resurrection of Jesus. And here again, you can see from Peter why it's an inseparable part of true Christian belief. Because it's through the resurrection that we are born again. So without the resurrection, there can be no new life. We are still dead in our trespasses and sins and will die eternally. So we bless God because of that. And remember that Christians meet on Sunday, the first day of the week, because it is the day of resurrection. So that Sunday by Sunday, we remember that Christ is risen. And because of that, we bless God. Then we also have reason to be thankful because of what God promises us for the future. I'm taking these things slightly out of order, but of what God promises us for the future. And we've already seen that we have a living hope in verse 3. But in verse 4, we are born again to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Now, as Christians, we live very much in the present for Christ, day by day. But we're not to go on aimlessly from day to day. We have a goal in view, a race to run with a finishing line. And we have an inheritance that is promised to us. So it means that we don't have it now, but we will be given it in the future. And though we've got to wait for it now, it's not something that changes. It's not going to decay. It's not like you've been promised a great house by a rich relative, and when you finally inherit it, you find it's all falling apart. This is imperishable and so on. It will persevere forever. But even though we look to the future, we're also, of course, having to live day by day for Christ. And we therefore have reason to thank God for that too. We've seen in verse 2 already, and we'll see later in the letter, that as Christians we're to be concerned to be holy and to be obedient to Christ. And we see how the Holy Spirit helps us in that, in sanctification. And we'll also see in this letter how living the Christian life doesn't mean that we never have any troubles. In fact, God will be at work to test and purify our faith. But here in verse 5, at the start of this letter, we've got the assurance that through what lies ahead, through difficult times, God will guard us. And it says he'll guard us by his power, God's power. We are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now that reminds me of the armour of God, and I have a feeling I've mentioned that in one of the previous talks. But part of the armour of God is the shield of faith. And we do and we will face difficult trials in this life. God doesn't shield us from that. Indeed, it seems that he sends them to us to help us. And it may be that this present situation, again, is proving a trial to you in different ways. Again, because you're shut at home, perhaps you're having to go day by day into situations which concern you. And perhaps some of that is troubling to your faith. And there may be other circumstances in life that you might find yourself saying, I just can't cope with this. But actually, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because it means we're not just trusting in ourselves as we so often do in this life. And then it should lead us to look to God. And so, as it were, take up that shield of faith. Because whilst we cannot cope, God certainly can. And by his power, you'll be guarded through faith. So faith is not about sailing through life because we feel so that we're so strong in our faith that we can conquer everything. But it means recognizing that in all things we depend upon God. We depend upon him for our daily bread. We depend upon him for every breath we take. And when we recognize that, we're more able to trust in him. And therefore we see in these verses that we have so many reasons to bless God, to speak and think and sing of his goodness, the good that he has done for us. We can bless him for all that he's done for us through Christ. We can bless him for the inheritance we have in the future. And we can bless him for the work of the Holy Spirit and that he guards us now through faith and through his power. Well, let's just take a moment to reflect upon that, and then I'll conclude with prayer. Our Lord, our God, we do bless you for all that you've given to us through Christ, for all your work in us now, and for that inheritance that you hold out to us for the future. Father, as we reflect on those things, as we remember those things, help us to truly trust in you, in true faith, committing our way to you day by day, to your praise and glory. Amen.